Scripture reading this morning is found in the Old Testament prophet book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 8 through 13. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 15. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. So, do you like surprises? Yeah. Yeah, there's some good surprises. But then there's some not so good surprises. There's a bunch of ice and snow that doesn't go away for several days. That's not one surprise that we're happy about. But the Bengals are in the Super Bowl. That's a nice surprise. Yeah. There are good surprises, surprise birthday parties, maybe surprise anniversary parties, surprise visit from a friend or maybe a family member that you hadn't seen for a while. Maybe you've seen some clips on TV where they show a soldier that had, in the armed forces who'd been on assignment somewhere and then comes home and surprises his or her family members, and how exciting that is. I saw a news note about a woman who was celebrating her 70th birthday, and she was at Disney World as a way to celebrate her party. And what she didn't know is that when she was posing for that classic, iconic picture in Disney World, all of a sudden behind her, the rest of her family, children, grandchildren, came up behind her and surprised her there at Disney World and helped her celebrate her 70th birthday. Some of us like surprises. Some of us don't like surprises, even if they're good surprises. Some of us aren't crazy about being surprised at all. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like different reactions that babies would have. You know that little box that you crank, and it's kind of the jack in the box? Yeah. And it goes. Pop goes the weasel. Right, exactly. So you have that jack in the box. And then when that happens and babies see that, they're surprised. And there's usually two reactions, laughing or terror, you know. And so I don't know if it's something that's just wired differently in the psychology of babies, that some laugh and think it's funny and some cry and think it's terrible. I don't even know. Maybe that even carries over into adulthood for some people. I don't know. But I do know this. God is full of surprises. And people react differently to God's surprises. Job chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, God is famous for great and unexpected acts. There's no end to his surprises. So I made up a little ditty that follows that Jack in the Box tune, and it kind of goes like this. You know, Jack in the Box tune is that, round and round the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel. Okay, so I made this up. round and round the faith berry bush. We often act like weasels. We think we have it all figured out. Then up pops Lord Jesus. They won't find that in the hymnal, but that's just... So when was the last time God popped up in your life and surprised you? Because he's full of surprises. The question is, are we open to that? Are we willing to look for, maybe even anticipate, maybe be just okay with whatever God might surprise us with? Because usually we like to know what's going on around us. Usually we like to have everything about our life fit nice and neat into a little box that we call our worldview. And things happen within that framework of our thinking that makes sense to us. Okay, we can figure it out, we can deal with it. Even if it's not so good, we can still figure it out if we can make sense of it. But stuff outside of the box makes us uncomfortable and can even scare us. And that's why we even like to keep God in a box. If he works in the way that we can understand, if he works in a way that, within the limits of what we have the ability to explain, if he works in ways that when he shows up, we get it, we expected that, then we're good. The problem is that God is out of the box. We can't keep God in any box that we might want to create to put him in for our own comfort. God is out of the box. He's loose. He's running around the neighborhood kind of like somebody's dog that nobody can corral. Just loose and free and running around. Because that's his nature. All we need to do is look at the life of Jesus to see how God surprises. We start right with the Virgin Mary expecting a baby. Wait, what? The Virgin Mary expecting a baby? We start right there. That's a surprise. This holy, divine creator of the universe stepped into our world, flesh and blood and bone and hair and teeth and eyes and nose and mouth. Wait, what? Jesus came, he healed the sick with just his touch. He brought the dead back to life just with his command. The blind were able to see. He sat one afternoon and talked with a woman at the well, one-on-one, in public, shocked the disciples. He became close friends with that rotten tax collector, Zacchaeus. Even had a tax collector in amongst his closest disciples named Matthew. He told the religious leader, the Pharisee Nicodemus, he said, if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born again. What? Wait, that doesn't fit inside his box. Jesus walked on water. He calmed the thunderstorm. He was the deliverer, the long-expected Messiah, and yet he was executed and he died on the crucified on the cross. That's a surprise. Nobody was expecting that. And probably the biggest surprise, at least so far of all, was that 3 days later, after he was buried, he rose from the dead alive. Yet there's one more surprise to come, and that's when Jesus comes back. And when he does, it's going to surprise a lot of people. Our God is full of surprises. That's just his nature. There's no box that we can create, either, with our intellect or some philosophy or even theology, that can just narrow God down to this is exactly what he's all about. Because God will bust any box that we try to put him in. And if you haven't been surprised by God in some way, or maybe even in lots of ways, then you're probably not paying much attention to the ways in which God is working in our world, in your life. God knows we have a tendency to put him in a box, and that's why he likes to pop up and surprise us, because he wants to challenge our faith. He wants us to grow in our relationship with us. Psalm 90, verse 14, surprise us with love at daybreak, and then we'll skip and dance all day long. Psalm 90, verse 14. So when we look at the life of Jesus, the main reason the Jews of Jesus' day had such a hard time with him, believing in him and so on, especially the religious leaders of his day, was his out-of-the-box behavior. You remember the times that Jesus got in trouble with the Pharisees? Is the time like he broke the Sabbath because he did work on the Sabbath. Well, what work did he do? He healed somebody. Or he picked some grain to feed some hungry people. He touched an unclean, diseased leper in order to make him well. He went to lunch with that low-down, dirty tax collector, that cheat Zacchaeus. He blasphemed God by saying that he and the Father were one. He openly, publicly challenged and embarrassed the Pharisees. And they wanted to keep God in a box, and what Jesus was doing was way outside of their box. Did you ever come across a broken jack-in-the-box? You know, you kind of wind it up, and it keeps going and going, and then it comes to the point where it's supposed to go, pop goes the weasel, and it doesn't pop, and it just keeps going and going, and the lid never opens. It just goes and goes and goes. Well, the Pharisees wanted that in their religion. They wanted the same old tune to play over and over and over again. And what they didn't realize was that their religious life so stymied their relationship with God was that they were sitting on the lid. They were the ones that were keeping God from popping up in their life. But that's not God's nature. God pops up. He pops up whenever he wants to. He pops up wherever he wants to. He pops up however he wants to. So, of course, that leads us to the next 3 points of the sermon. God pops up whenever he wants. You know, Jesus worked on his own time frame. Here's an example. The disciples got news that Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus, a good friend of the ministry of Jesus, in fact, his whole family, Lazarus's two sisters, Mary and Martha, they were very supportive of Jesus and his work. And the disciples got word that Lazarus was sick, and they went and told Jesus. Why did they tell Jesus? What was their expectation? Well, we've seen him heal people before. And he'd want to know that his friend Lazarus was sick, and maybe he'll go and heal Lazarus. And Jesus said, okay, yeah, well, we're not going to go just yet. They couldn't understand it, but okay, he's Jesus, so we'll follow him. Then came the word that Lazarus had died. It's not time to go yet. 4 days after Lazarus was put in the tomb, that's when Jesus showed up. And Martha and Mary come out to Jesus, weeping because they've lost their brother. And their complaint was, if you had only been here earlier, that's John chapter 11, verse 21. If you had only been here earlier, my brother would not have died. They trusted in his power to heal him. But Jesus said, wait, there's more that's going to happen. This isn't about your timing. This is about God's timing. And then it happened. God popped up. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. See, God is not on the same clock as we are. If we think he is, we're putting him in a box. If we think God works on our time schedule, we're going to be surprised someday by God's timing. I remember a comedian who used to do a spoof on the news, And he would say, sometimes the newscast would start like, you know, it's in New York, it's 10:45. In Chicago, it's 9:45. In Baltimore, it's 6:42 in time for the 11 o'clock news. Well, God's kingdom is somewhat like that. Yeah, in New York, it might be 10:45, and Chicago might be 9:45, but in the kingdom, it might be 6:42, and God's got something else going on. God pops up whenever. He's in his own time zone, and that zone has very little connection to what we think is supposed to be God's timing. God also pops up wherever he wants to. You remember the story of how Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace, almost became like a son to the Pharaoh. And then one day, after some very unfortunate incident, Moses decides to run away. Yeah, I have to get out of here. And so he runs to Midian, which is in the wilderness, in the desert. And for 40 years, Moses is a sheep herder in the wilderness. But then one day, Moses sees this bush on fire, and yet it's not being burnt up. And he goes to take a closer look, and he's surprised. God's voice comes out of that bush. And essentially it's, Moses, what are you doing out here in the wilderness? What are you doing out here in this desert? You and I aren't on the same page, Moses. I've got another plan for you. I want you to follow this map. I want you to go back to Egypt, go back to Pharaoh. I want you to talk to him. At that point, Moses' map, his life map, became the same as God's. He got in sync, in tune with God. Up until that point, in those 40 years of being in the desert before the burning bush incident, they weren't on the same page. God's not on the same map as we are. If we're trying to find faith or hope or love or purpose for our life, we need to be following the map that God has for us. Moses wasn't. He was wandering around in the desert. God had a different plan for him. Several years ago, I decided that it was time to change out this water softener in our house. And we'd had it for quite a while and just felt it was not working as well and we needed to change it out. And so the plan is ultimately not to flood the basement. That's the plan. But to get to that point, there's several important steps to take, not the least of which is make sure you shut the water off. Even before you disconnect the old one, and then you have to drain the old one, and you have to disconnect it, and the way I was installing it, I had to cut some of the PVC piping, that PVC lines that ran to the old one, take that out, get a new one, put it in place, and then fix up all the pipe fittings, the PVC pipe fittings and so on, so that it would be properly installed. Reading the instructions is valuable, and following them step by step is valuable, especially for this project. I'd never done that before. Having the right tools, like a pipe cutter to cut the PVC, or a hacksaw to cut the PVC, having the right pipe cleaning solution and the right glue that holds the PVC pipe fittings together to the pipe, all of that is important. If you miss a step in the instructions, if you don't have the right tools, if you don't use the right equipment, you could end up flooding the basement. And so the big test, of course, is once you get it in place, you turn the water back on, see what happens. And so far, to this day, after several years, our new water softener is working. The same thing applies to installing faith and love and hope and purpose in our life. God has instructions for us to follow for that to happen. And we can't skimp on those instructions, and we have to use the proper tools of prayer and the Bible and worship in order for those things to be a part of our life in healthy ways. God pops up wherever. It's important for us to follow him. And finally, thirdly, God pops up however. Of course, in the Old Testament, there's that great story of Daniel. And his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were very faithful to God, even though the king of Babylon wanted everyone in the country, in Babylonia, to submit to him and to worship this incredible 90-foot idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had made of himself. But Daniel and his three friends said, no, we're not going to do that. We worship God alone, and we're not going to bow down to an idol of your image. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, fine. And he tied up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he ordered the fiery pit that served a purpose there in Babylon, and ordered it to be turned up 7 times hotter than normal. And then threw those three friends of Daniel into the fire. And then in Daniel chapter 3, God pops up. Just like he popped up in the burning bush in the desert. Just like he popped up when he raised Lazarus from the dead. God pops up. And this is what King Nebuchadnezzar said. Nebuchadnezzar shouted, Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire. And they aren't even hurt by the flames. And the fourth looks like a god, looks like a son of man. God had popped up in that fiery furnace to rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God does not connect the dots like we do. You know that connect the dot? You start with number one. And then you go where? Number 2, and then number 3, and number 4, and number 5. God starts with like number 10, and then he goes to number 12, and then he goes to 3, and then to 40, and then to 7. That's how God works. If a little child did that, we would correct them. No, you don't go that way. We cannot expect God to think like we think. Cannot expect God to behave predictably according to our expectations. That's what the text in Isaiah 55 is about. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God will surprise you. You can count on it. If you let him. If you don't sit on the lid, if you're open to his surprises, he's going to show up unexpectedly whenever, wherever, however he wants to, but he's going to accomplish his purposes that way in your life. My prayer for all of us today is that we'll refrain from blocking God from popping up in our lives. You know, that's a big deal for us with our technology today, our computers and our phones. We get annoyed by all the pop-up ads and so on that show up. And so we have blockers that can block those pop-ups. We have ways in which we can keep those things from popping up on our computers and in our phones. The danger is if we do that spiritually, if we block God from popping up in our life, then we run the risk of missing his presence, his plan, his purpose that he has for our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, The Bible says, no one's ever seen or heard anything like this, never so much as even imagined anything quite like it, what God has arranged for those who love him. So I invite you to just let the music play. Round and round the faith berry bush. Sometimes we act like weasels. We think we have it all figured out. And so I invite you to, then up pops Lord Jesus, let him pop up in your life. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, sometime, somewhere, when we least expect it, you pop up in our life. And we pray that we'll be prepared in such a way that we'll smile and we'll say, that's you, Lord. That's you. We thank you for your word this morning and a reminder that we can't put you in a box. That just when we think we have it all figured out, you pop up in new and fresh ways. Help us, Lord, to be okay with that. In fact, Lord, help us even to expect that, anticipate that. And even though you surprise us, we'll still be okay with it. Help us to stay connected through prayer, through the scriptures, through our worship times, so that whenever and wherever and however you show up, we'll give you the praise and the thanks that you deserve for working things out in our life, even in unexpected ways. Help us be always in awe and wonder of the ways that you work, amazing ways that you work and pop up in our lives. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.